The Garden Show is sponsored by Rail City Garden Center on Briarly Way, just off Vista and I-80 in Sparks. Featuring Dan Vanino and gardening experts Paul Hollis and Randy Robeson from Rail City Garden Center on Briarly Way, just off Vista and I-80 in Sparks. The views, opinions, or advice offered by this show's host do not necessarily reflect those of News Talk 780 KOH or its parent company, Cumulus Media.
Good morning, everyone. It's time for The Garden Show. The time is 8:07 on the penultimate day of June.
What?
I was hoping you would ask because I learned that word from Dave Finley.
What is it?
Penultimate day of June. Penultimate means the day before the last day.
Oh, also,
nice
it's July.
Know, right?
Yeah, but it's July. you're way off, Dan. Come on.
Good way to start the show, eh?
Yeah. Right. Get with the program. It's July. I'm Randy, and that's Paul.
Right.
Just in case you're married to Diane.
I've got an identity crisis. I'm Dan Vanino, the proud host of the program. Thank you for joining us for the Garden Show. We're going to have fun for the next couple of hours. You're going to learn a lot about gardening, if you don't already know it. But there's always something new to learn, so stay tuned to The Garden Show, heard exclusively on this here radio station, News Talk 780 KOH. Great to have you indeed. So, a nice hot day scheduled for today. 101, they say.
Yeah.
But then there's a light at the end of the tunnel. Tomorrow it's going to be in the low 90s, and then next week in the high 80s.
Wow, that's good.
We're
going to
cool off a little bit.
It'd be nice to get some rain.
That would be real nice. Well, there's a minor chance of thunder shower over the next couple of days. So keep your fingers crossed.
Yes, I agree. But you know what? It is the perfect time to get your vegetable garden. Now, remember, that's my passion.
Yeah.
You know? It's fall gardening.
It's almost an obsession.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely correct. It's an obsession. Yeah. But you know what? There's so many vegetables that go into the ground right now, and you're pulling out so much stuff. It's like, so you've got the rest of the season. Now, we have so many different short varieties, season varieties here at the nursery that you can pick up that are going to grow. That you've pulled out your onions, you're harvesting your cabbage.
And your garlic's
been a while.
Pretty close.
Yeah, it's been a while. No big deal. But you've got so much stuff that you really need to restart. You've got kohlrabi, cabbage, broccoli, Brussels sprouts a little bit short. You can still put cauliflower in the ground. We have 52-day variety squashes that you can put in the ground. 52 days, you're going to be harvesting squash. So if you're pulling out stuff and you don't know what to do, we have so many different varieties of seeds and plants available that you can come down and pick up.
Well, a lot of it is the fall planting time, too. Remember now, unlike the spring, when you had to start things indoors because the ground was too cold, now the ground is warm enough so you can plant them out there. You do need to protect them from the birds. Birds do love to dig up those fresh little seeds.
Yeah, they eat the heads right off them.
Yeah. So, but all of those things, and they'll grow clear into December. And they like the cooler weather. They don't bolt, meaning they don't take off and produce flower stalks. But this is the planting time for in-the-ground seeds for all of those things right now. And people just don't realize that, I think, more and more. Yeah. And lettuce.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, lettuce. And you know, we talk about that.
And the seeds are still 40% off.
Really?
This year's seeds are, because next week after, that we get the new ones for next year.
Wow. Wow.
So, but these seeds are going to be just fine, believe me.
Oh, and you know, that's the thing is the germination rate. You know, when I teach up for the cooperative extension, the one thing I say is the seed package has a lot of information. You know, it's one of those read the label, Dan. Mm-hmm.
Just yeah, right.
But if you look at the seed packet, it's got a lot of information on what you can do with it. So it's always great to pick up those seed packets and read about how long it's going to take. But there's so much space in my garden right now. We harvested turnips. We've harvested, and Paul's right. What's going to happen during those fall months is you're going to have these stable plants, and that protein is going to turn into a sugar, and you're going to get a higher quality and better tasting vegetable.
Mm-hmm.
So now's the time to come in and pick up what we got.
And nice.
And at the bare minimum, you want to keep your soil alive.
Okay? Oh, man.
So you can, and that happens with good, healthy soil, adding compost. You may want to put some mushroom compost, some alfalfa pellets, some
boost
in there. But if without the plants growing, it'll go dormant, and you don't want that. So just plant a cover crop.
Yeah, and that's an
excellent
idea.
And throw some vetch or what's the other one I'm trying to think of? The one has a little buckwheat.
Yeah.
Just throw it in there. Mm. Let it grow. Just leave it alone. You're not don't have to cultivate it or anything. And then if you're tired of your garden.
And okay, just see the rest of the farm.
And some people are going, well, I'm going on vacation. Yeah. I'm done. You know, I don't want to garden anymore this year. Just throw the cover crop in there.
Right.
Let it grow. And essentially it's a weed you want to grow. Then when you're ready to plant again, you just turn it over. But you're keeping the soil alive.
Yeah, and that's
the microbes are still going to be active. And the whole thing with farming and gardening and what they're doing is finding out that you just don't let the soil lay there fallow anymore.
Right.
All these major crops that are coming out, they're leaving the stubble there. They harvest the wheat, they just leave it there, and then they just plant right over the top of it. Those are in big agricultural things.
Right.
But they'll plant a cover crop during the dormant season that you can mix back in with the soil, and the soil will reward you with bigger and better crops.
Yeah. I always feel compelled to explain, for those who don't know, that by planting the cover crop is actually adding nutrients to the soil.
Correct.
So that's why you do cover crops.
Yes, it is. There's so much fun stuff about cover crops. You can do so many different things that you can do. Some of the ones that we have are you can put peas in, and what peas do is they pull the nitrogen, their nitrogen fixers out of the air and put it into the soil. There is so many good things. There's a friend out in Lemon Valley, Dave Kronk, and Dave has a very small, and I mean, probably less than 500 square feet of gardening space, total 4x4 box beds. And what happens is he plants all of that cover crop on every little box beds that he has.
Right.
And he has had nothing but success. And it's like Paul said, you got to keep that soils alive.
But since different plants add different nutrients to the soil, how many different cover crop plants should you plant to
just one.
Complete the picture?
Well, you can do mixes or just one at the very minimum.
Yeah, and that's the cool part. If you ever get a chance, there's a great book by Gabe Brown called Dirt to Soil. And he plants 13 different variety of seeds in his cover crops. Now, he has a drill seeder, and he does a lot of different stuff, but 13 different varieties of covers.
Wow. So, yeah, that ought to cover it.
So to speak.
So to speak.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
But anyway, and you know something else? Paul gave us this Northern Nevada garden tour.
Oh, yeah. We got the garden tour coming up. Oh,
yeah.
Tell us about it, Paul.
So the end of whatever month you're in, Dan.
Yeah.
Next month in August.
August.
On the 27th and the 28th, we're having the Northern Nevada Garden Tour, which all the proceeds for this go to the Master Gardener Program so that they can do their good deeds. But it's a self-guided tour. You get a map book, which will be out in about 2 weeks before the tour. This is about a month away, if you're counting. And you'll get to go around to about a dozen really cool gardens, big and small. A couple of them are community gardens. Some of them are in their backyards. But you'll get to see some really, and they're not all just veggies.
No.
Because Drift Farms is going to be on there, and she's all about flowers.
Oh, my goodness.
And she's been here the last 2 weeks selling bouquets. But what she can do with growing at 6,000 feet on Mount Rose Highway is, and I'm just saying by the looks of her arrangements.
Yeah.
The plants, the variety, they're just fabulous. So you can buy your tickets. I think I'm right, they're $25 per person, and if you buy two, they're $35 per two people.
Yep, that's exactly what it is.
And you go to eventbrite.com. We have the link on our website.
And I'm posting it on Facebook.
And
now
it's on Facebook, our Facebook page. So you can go there and go to Eventbrite, and that's where you get your tickets. But in about 2 weeks, you'll have to swing by here and pick up your map book.
Yeah.
Or I think you can be able to print it off the website, too.
Oh, that'd be nice. Yeah, so a number of local gardeners, just like you, are very proud of what they've grown, and they want to show it off. So they volunteered to have you visit their home, their backyard, and see what they've done, and even ask questions on how he or she did it. So that's called the Garden Tour, and it's coming up on the 27th and 28th of August. We'll be right back with more of The Garden Show. Keep it right here on News Talk 780 KOH.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Right of center, opinionated, and sometimes noisy. An encore Ben Shapiro today at 5 p.m. on News Talk 780 KOH.
Are we back? Yeah. Yes, we're back.
Imagine that.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us for The Garden Show on this penultimate day of July.
Oh, there you go.
It's the 30th of July. And just for your information, you will have 14 hours and 16 minutes of daylight today.
That's not enough.
No, actually, it's going down because we're past the summer, summer equinox?
Yeah.
And so day lengths are shrinking slowly but surely. I know that last week, I think we were like at 14 hours and 20 minutes or something like that, right?
Yeah.
So it goes down a few minutes every week. But 14 hours and 16 minutes, not bad. Enjoy it. So I want you to also know that if you have any questions or problems with your garden and you want a quick fix, give us a call.
Yeah.
Because our experts, Paul Hollis and Randy Roberson, can more than likely give you a remedy. Our telephone number in the 775 area code is 852-8255. And we don't mention this very often, but we also have a toll-free number, which is 800-564-5564. And on top of that, you could also talk to us via email. And our email address is the number 3, gardenguys@gmail.com. Talk to us.
Looks like Vicky's calling in, and she wants to talk about alfalfa pellets.
Hello, Victoria.
Hi. I just have two quick questions. If I throw alfalfa pellets in all my pots, am I inviting the rabbits and mice to lunch? Do they eat alfalfa?
You know what? That's a great question,
yeah, really,
and we really, really, really love those kind of questions because you'll hear so much anecdotal information out there, people type different stories. The answer is no. So what the pellets are is just crushed up so fine that it really almost looks I'm having a hard time coming up with a way.
Well, they're rabbit.
They're
bunny food.
Fireplace.
Yeah, they look like, perfect. Yeah, like fireplace pellets. But the big thing is that when they get water on them, they expand, and they will allow those nutrients to leach down to the soils. It's very similar to putting grass clippings or any kind of a cold mulch over the top, the nutritional value that you're actually receiving from those alfalfa. Now, remember, it's 70% nitrogen. So every time you put that on there and the water, when you water, it's allowing that nitrogen, which is extremely water soluble, to be able to go back down into those roots. The mice and the rabbits once you add water, are going to have a hard time eating oatmeal because that's kind of what happens to the pellet. It just turns into a smushy mess. But it's actually kind of cool to watch because they puff up all over and then they just kind of fall apart and it turns into this really cool powdery looking stuff. It's amazing stuff. But the answer is no.
Okay, good. The second question I have is my daffodil leaves are just laying dead on the ground. Should I remove them or just let them stay there? And I wanted to leave them on so that they would, feed the bulbs until they died. But now that they're just dead and laying on the ground.
No, I would not. I would clean them up.
Yeah.
You're inviting things like earwigs and other stuff to lay underneath.
And even
that.
For aesthetic reasons, it looks cleaner. And
I would just clean them up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thanks,
right,
sure.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah. See, there's a good example of if you have a question, give us a call. Again, that number is 852-8255.
So let me go right to the hot spots right now. We have a little cheat sheet here, and it's called Bugs and Ailments We Are Seeing.
Oh, man.
What people are coming in with. Number one. What's number one?
Snails at my house.
No.
Aphids.
Squash bugs.
Oh, squash bugs.
And we have a great remedy for you. We have a great remedy. It's called, it's by Pfefferon. It's called Vegetable and Insect Killer. You sprinkle it around on the ground, but now the squash bugs are out of the soil for the most part, and they're up on the plant, and we have a product called Killabug.
Killabug!
Or multi-dust, multi-use dust. And this dust you can use even on livestock to get rid of things, but it's very good. You can dust it on, poof it on there, or use the Killabug, which is a liquid form, spray it on, and you'll get rid of squash bugs. And squash bugs don't do anything individually. You get so many of them, they just all of a sudden your plants start looking stippled, the leaves start getting yellow, and then the whole plant goes to hell. And there's massive amounts of them. So get rid of those with squash bugs. Snails are pretty simple.
Oh, my goodness.
The snail bait.
Really? You know what I've been doing? Every night, I think this is interesting, is I go out and I pick snails. Now, my grandsons come over, and we pick and squish snails.
Oh.
And I mean, we will get, probably between 50 and I pay them a little bit of money
for
them.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, as motivation.
A little ice cream.
Yeah, that way they can
save. So you're using child labor.
Yeah, child labor.
So really, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, but we pick up tons of those snails.
And you just step on them?
Oh, yeah.
And they crunch?
Oh, my goodness. They actually collect a lot of them so they can crunch them all up.
Yeah, but you don't saute them.
You know, I read for a while, some of them were so big, I actually did some research on that, potentially.
God.
And so, but
no way.
You cannot eat them.
And escargot or snails?
No, well, they are, but there's different variety. These particular snails can cause brain damage.
Oh.
So and I keep trying to remember it, but I already looked all this stuff up. You know how I am, Dan. I would never even think of those things, but after I read the article, it's like, no, that is bad juju. Yeah.
Well, in the real world, we have bait that they'll come and eat, and you can get rid of them.
And that's probably a lot better.
It has spinosad and iron phosphate in it, and it works. It's all natural, all organic.
Too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So we have Sue hiding in Hidden Valley. She's got a question about hollyhocks, and we'll address that after we take this short break on The Garden Show on News Talk 780 KOH.
Our house is a mess. Come on in.
I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian, and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
He's the Pied Piper of entrepreneurial excellence. Bosma on Business, today at 10 a.m. on News Talk 780 KOH.
Well, Saturdays are our fun days because that's when we have the garden show, which you're listening to right now, and we do appreciate it. We're also taking phone calls, as I told you, and we have Sue from Hidden Valley on the line with a question about hollyhocks, right, Sue?
Yes, sir. Good morning. Thank you for your great program.
You're welcome. Thank you.
I have hollyhocks that are probably, close to 6 feet tall.
I know, they get
tall. And I just have trouble with them blooming. A lot of the pods end up going to seed before I get very many blooms. And I just wonder if there's something I can do about that.
Hmm.
Flower tone.
Flower tone.
Okay. You need a little more phosphorus, and you don't need to get willy-nilly and, buy trip phosphate and dump handfuls of that. It goes a long ways. But one of the most important things I learned in the last couple weeks with Drift Flowers here, she puts flower tone by Espoma on everything, and then she uses uses it and gets
amazing results.
So do you use that when they first start growing, or
that's what she feeds her.
Okay.
Other than compost and all the other stuff you can put on there.
Can she put that on now?
But it's gonna take a little while.
Yeah,
it's gonna take a little while. So what's the product called again?
Flower Tone.
Yeah. The other thing, too, is with those hollyhocks, and we have a lot of hollyhocks, is what I found is that after they have bloomed and you got those funky stalks that are just sticking up there that are flowerless, deadhead them. Cut them off.
Yeah, I've been doing that. I've been even deadheading some of them that are starting to go to seed more than flower.
Yeah. And that's what happened to us. We had one garden that is completely taken over, and it's amazing how the freaking hollyhocks will start taking over there.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I know. Well, that's why I cut them down.
What color are your hollyhocks?
They're pink, two different colors of pink, a lighter one and a deep one.
Wow.
Awesome. They're pretty.
Because the ones I've seen on Pebble Creek or one of those streets up there, it seems to me for the last all the years I've been going up there, there's a dark red maroon one.
Yeah, I've seen those.
And I think one person planted it, and it got all the seed got scattered because every yard.
Everybody in the street. I know.
And they're dark.
I know. I
dark
didn't know
red.
That when I planted them.
Yeah.
They're amazing.
But they're cool. But they do. Yeah, the other thing is, because this will lead into my next thing, is they are an attractive nuisance for earwigs.
Oh.
And earwigs just love them.
Hmm.
Those and lupin. But the earwig traps that we have that are $6.99, and you get three traps. I'm holding it up.
Yeah, he's showing you on the radio just in case.
Showing you on the radio.
Here, take a look at it.
radio I see it. TV I see it. Pictures.
And you put a little peanut butter in there and a little soapy water in the. It's about the size of a cube of butter. They crawl in and they can't get out. You got to dump them.
And you catch them by the hundreds.
And then the other thing is the...
Wait a minute. He's showing you some more stuff.
I'm showing you another one.
Yeah, look at your radio. You see it? Holding up the can.
The ant bait, the granular ant bait. And the word bait on there means that they come and eat it, and it works very well.
Okay. Now he's pointing. He's pointing to the container. Just so you
get that graphic.
I got to make sure that.
So that's for all those people that are having earwig problems on their hollyhocks.
Okay, you mentioned lupin. My lupin, it got kind of like a white milky.
No, that's powdery mildew,
and that's pretty common this time of year.
And that's copper spray.
Yeah.
Copper spray. Oh my gosh.
Use copper spray. Yeah.
You know, how did we survive before we figured out how to take care of that stuff?
Yeah. I know.
And we're getting towards the end of the season where you're going to see powdery mildew on a lot of things. Squash, pumpkins, roses, powdery mildew. And everybody's like, oh, where did that powdery mildew come from? Everywhere. It's a bacteria that blows in the wind. So it just gets on somebody else's house, and when you get a big windy day or a bird or something comes by, it just is a part of that process. The moisture
when we get a windy day?
Well, and when you read the literature on powder, how, you know, things you can do to prevent powdery mildew, increase, number one, increase air circulation.
Yeah.
Well, guarantee if you live around here, we've already done that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, especially on euonymus, which is that evergreen plant. And the powdery mildew shows up as little dots all over the plant. Same powdery mildew, and then you get it on apples, and it just looks like it's all over. It's different forms, but, you know, it has nothing to do with, am I watering too much, or, you know, it just shows up. It's in our environment, and same with ants and everything else. So.
And powdery and downy mildew. So there's also downy mildew,
which is dark.
So on a stalk of hollyhocks that is dead, how far down do you dig?
As far as you can go.
Oh, yeah, all the way down. Whack the ground? Them off.
Cut them all the way down.
Okay.
Same with daylilies. All the daylilies, you know, are pretty much finished blooming.
Yeah.
Right.
And there's a stick that sticks up. Cut that off as far as you can.
As far down as you can.
And a lot of times when they turn, you can just pull them out.
Yeah. And then you possibly will get more blooms.
Yep.
Okay.
All right,
go
Sue.
For it.
Great phone call.
Thanks for calling.
Good advice. Thank you so much. Really appreciate you guys.
We appreciate you, believe me.
Okay, have a great one.
By the way, if I may brag once again, we are the number one radio show in Northern Nevada on Saturday mornings between 8 and 10 o'clock. We beat everybody. And we're proud of that. And it's only because you have taken the time and chosen to listen to the show. Thank you so much.
Okay, so I'm going through my list.
You know what?
Melees, earwigs. We just talked about earwigs.
Yes, we did.
Can't stand it. I keep looking at these the Chevy, and the Airstream. You guys,
isn't that cool?
Is that the coolest little coolers? I didn't mean to interrupt you on that, Paul. I just saw this, and it's like that bright and shiny thing, but. Paul's got this little deal, and I'll take a picture of it and put it up on Facebook. You know,
Hot August Night's car.
Yeah.
It looks like pulling an Airstream?
Yeah. So, anyway, long story short is Paul gets to enjoy this beautiful garden every day. Dan and I come down here once a week and hang out and spend a few hours. And to me, it's amazing to be able to see some of this stuff. Some of it's just... And they're little coolers. They're ice chests.
I know.
That's so cool.
It'd be a lot cooler, literally, if you had it full of beer and ice.
And ice. So that's actually for sale, right?
Yeah.
How cute. That is so cute.
I really got to post a picture.
Paul is here, but he's actually not here because he's on vacation.
Yeah, I'm sneaking out.
He left his vacation spot just to be on the show. We appreciate that, Paul. Thanks.
Well, thanks. I'm glad to be here.
Man, I love that little car.
Again, don't forget, you can call us at 852-8255 or reach out to us via email at the3gardenguys@gmail.com. All righty. So
let me finish going through the bad bugs melees. Okay. The other thing is we're starting to see the greater peach tree borer. And this will get in any of your stone fruits, and it bores into the wood. They're out migrating around right now, so you need to spray with pyrethrins, which is triple action. Get it on the wood so that the moth, when you look at it, and it looks more like a yellow jacket. It's a clear wing moth, but you wouldn't think of it as that little fluffy powdery thing. It looks more like a yellow jacket than compared to what you think of when you say the word moth. But they're out breeding and laying eggs, so you want to get this on there so that that egg hatches, the larvae starts chewing around, it eats the insecticide and dies very easily. So look for those, the peach tree borer. And we have a trap for those. that'll let you know that they're out. But a lot of people are looking at their cherry trees, especially, and there's bore holes, and then you got to cut the limb off, and you don't want to do that.
And so, what's the product called that you use for that?
Triple Action.
Oh, Triple Action. Okay.
It's pyrethrin and neem oil.
Okay. So.
And then the other big one is, if you're getting tomatoes, and we've talked about the melees of tomatoes in the heat, if you're not getting tomatoes, it's because it's so hot and temperatures above 70 degrees or high, close to 70 at night, aborts the flower production. Tomatoes are saying, man, it's too hard to work. I'm not going to produce tomatoes. So if you use the blossom set, you kind of, it's a natural hormone. You trick them into thinking that they're fertilized, and it'll hang on. And if you can shade your tomatoes in the afternoon,
that's
a good idea, and you'll start seeing tomatoes. So, and they're getting blossom end rot, especially Roma tomatoes.
Oh,
the bottom half of the, or the end of the tomato, starts turning black or brown. That's from the lack of calcium and your soil pH. But if you add Kelzyme to your soil, you will not see that. And Kelzyme's a natural mineral. It's petrified sea kelp mined about 100 miles from here, a little farther, 120. So
here in Nevada.
Here in Nevada, in Mill City.
Right.
So, okay, we have a caller.
All right, let's say hello to Maggie from Reno. Hi, Maggie.
Hi. I love you guys. I listen to you every Saturday. And I've been on the Rouse City Garden Tour before. I've actually hosted my home to that. But I'm having problems with my peppers this year. Some kind of, I don't know if it's an insect. I don't see an insect, but something is eating all the leaves off my peppers.
Well, it could be caterpillars.
Yeah, cutworms.
Cutworm loopers. And they're coming out at night.
I don't see any caterpillars. I don't see any caterpillars at all.
How about rodents, rabbits?
We generally don't get rabbits because we have our yard. We have the chicken wire a foot below our fence line. And so we don't get rabbits in our yard, but there's something, and I've seen small holes in the leaves.
There's the key. That's what I was going to ask. So you've got flea beetles. Flea beetles are attacking the young plants. They're present. You're going to see holes in the foliage, so you've got flea beetles. There are so many different things, and I'll just go through a quick list of the items that you have to worry about, and especially with peppers. White flies, hornworms, corn borers, flea beetles, army worm, fruit worms, aphids, cutworms. Those are all insects that go particularly after peppers. When Craig and I went to the New Mexico Pepper Institute, we recognized one of the things that causes a lot of attack on peppers is when people start weeding their yard. Because what it does is you have all these flea beetles that will actually start hopping off of the weeds that they're out there, and then they start attacking all your pepper plants. So. And it's kind of interesting when you start thinking about that. You're cleaning up your yard, start weeding, and all of a sudden you've got all these flea beetles jumping onto your peppers and eating holes through them. So,
and they're a little bitty black beetle. And when I ask people to try and capture one and bring it in, the reason they're called flea beetles is they pop. And they're hard to catch.
They
do. They would win the high jump in the Olympics.
You really don't. My son saw. My son, in fact, it's kind of interesting. The other day we were doing some working in the garden, and my son said, "What are those little black bugs?" And I said, "They're flea beetles." And he's like, "I'm going to catch one." It's like Paul said.
Wow.
Yeah. So they're flea beetles. But Paul is the expert on what he treats them with.
Triple Action Plus. Just spray your plant with.
Because I have something I purchased from you guys a few years back called Seven.
That'll work.
Yep.
If it's still good, that'll work.
Okay, because I compost things myself, and I try to do,
Well, the bugs moved
organic.
In, so.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
Triple Action Plus will be the product that you're going into. All right.
All right, Maggie.
I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hopefully that helped you. We'll take a break here and get into the final segment of the first hour of The Garden Show. So keep it right here on The Garden Show on News Talk 780, KOH.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next question, Richie, is that, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
The latest gadgets, breaking tech news, and everything digital. Kim Komando. Today at 11 a.m. on News Talk 780 KOH.
Here we are. We're back in the Garden Show. Nice little break. We took a little nap during the break.
Sleep it up.
So, are you aware of the fact that we have the entire line of steel battery-operated garden tools?
Oh my gosh.
Oh, not the
Don't
least
get
of which
started
that we're
on those
so
things.
Excited about is this little handheld chainsaw.
Oh.
You operate it just like a screw gun with one hand. It's got a 4-inch blade on it, and it'll cut an entire forest down. Well, that may be a slight exaggeration, but man, are they handy.
Depends on how big your fire
and
forest
is. And you
is.
Use it so often that you have to replace the blade every once in a while.
No, I've gone through, at this point, and it's not worth having them resharpened. You know, I think I'm on like number 8 or 9 blade.
Really?
And now I'm gonna pick up my third battery because, you know what? I can't even tell you how much I use this thing. So it's probably daily that I'm using that chainsaw for something
really
silly. And everybody's like, oh, what are you working on in your garden? You're working on plumbing, PVC. What do you got? This chainsaw is so small and so convenient. If I had a little holster, I'd probably just carry it around.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it would be because
it's small enough to have it on a holster.
And then the other product is the little, one, the hedger?
Hedge trimmer.
Oh, the hedge trimmer. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. We have Seymour, and Seymour pretty much covers our house. Like, I mean, it's an incredibly white, silvered lace. But it is incredible. And my wife uses her steel products. In fact, I borrowed it the other day because I had the hop house going crazy, covered all my security cameras. So I had to borrow it. And she was chasing me down to get her. Hey, come on, that's mine.
Give it back.
What do you do? Go buy funny. Your own. So, and then that blower, the little tiny blower. Now I have the backpack blower, the big giant 800, and I'm not kidding you, 300 mile an hour winds. But the little tiny blower, and it's not the little tiny one. It's the medium sized one. Is perfect. You turn it on and go, and you're ready to just get out there and start.
Right. And the batteries last surprisingly long, too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, yeah. No, you're right. On the blower, it depends on what day of the week it is. And typically with our high winds, you know, I send most of my leaves and stuff to Idaho. Everything I do. As soon as it gets windy, I start to hit that blower, and, man, that little – it's just like the awesomest stuff in the world.
Yeah. No gas, no extension cords. Just hold it in your hand, push the button, and go.
And you know what? It sounds silly, but as we get older, and I'm not like a pup anymore, but, man, I'm telling you, jerking on those handles, trying to get by the time you finish with it, you're so angry, all you want to do is throw it in the dumpster, you know? It's like these, you just pull the trigger and go.
Right.
So I got to tell you, I just sold.
Anyway, stop products. By and look at our entire display of steel battery-operated garden tools. They're wonderful.
Oh, and thank goodness Paul got them in, because I'll tell you that. And you know what else I really use besides that blower is the catchy can.
We got some bad news from Steel, though.
What?
Well, the new vacuum that was coming out for
blower dash vacuum.
Guess where they make the chip for it?
China.
It's assembled in the United States, mainly. No.
Taiwan.
Ukraine.
Really?
So they're laughing, but their plant got discombobulated. Thank you, Russia.
That's awful. Well, on that note, we're going to take a break, get you updated on the latest news, traffic, weather, etc. And then we'll brighten things back up with the second hour of the Garden Show, which you hear right here on Newstalk 780 KOH.
On air, online, on demand. Newstalk 780 KOH.
Our house is a mess. Come on in.
I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.